Hey everyone, welcome to No Left Turn Podcast, where I take a sharp turn into hot and timely topics, news, and current events. And then I take a deeper dive into stuff more people should know about. I'm your host, Gayla Taylor. You can subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcast fix. Join us on Facebook to engage more with me and other podcast listeners. If you like the show, please take a few seconds and leave a review. You don't have to write anything, just stars will do. It's one of the most effective and meaningful ways to show your support, especially for the smallest podcasters, not just me. Now grab a coffee, buckle up, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of No Left Turns with Gayla Taylor. This is actually take 2 of episode 2 because last night I learned that I wasn't quite as tech savvy as I thought I was. And when I went to edit my podcast, it was a complete fail. So tonight you're going to get the unedited version again. And hopefully between now and the next episode, I will have time to learn and master this editing software. Tonight, I want to talk about the high cost of prescription medications and just why they're so high here in the U.S. compared to other countries, and it's probably not what you'd think. The drug companies say they must impose higher prices in the U.S. to pay for research that enables them to innovate and develop new drugs that save our lives, but that's not true. Half of the scientifically innovative drugs approved in the U.S. resulted from research at universities and biotech firms, not the drug companies that spend 19 times more on marketing than on research and development. Fixing the bill would require a change in law. The 2003 Medicare Modernization Act, passed during the George W. Bush administration, established Part D drug coverage that was to be provided by private insurance companies, and it forbade Medicare from negotiating prices with Big Pharma. Since then, Big Pharma has used its multi-billion dollar lobbying and advertising arsenal to kill meaningful drug price reforms so far. Until Congress decides to take a serious run at reform, the industry is going to continue to raise the price at will, and average Americans like you and me are going to continue to pay the price, whatever that price may be. When it comes to the Medicare prescription drug bill, I think the Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats and vice versa. Billy Towson, former Democrat turned Republican congressman from Louisiana, he was the primary driving force behind the catastrophic bill. Towson resigned from Congress in February of 2004. In January 2005, the day after his term in Congress ended, he began work as the head of Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, otherwise known as Pharma, which is a powerful trade group for pharmaceutical companies. Towson was hired at an estimated $2 million a year. As the head of Pharma, Towson was a key player in the 2009 healthcare reform negotiations that produced pharmaceutical industry support for the White House and Senate efforts. Towson received $11.6 million from Pharma in 2010, making him the highest paid health law lobbyist. Towson then became part of the board of directors for Louisiana Healthcare Group. The Medicare prescription drug bill was written by pharmaceutical lobbyists, and the bill was over 1,000 pages. It got to members of the House on the morning of November the 24th, just before breaking for Thanksgiving holiday. The House vote took place at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, just before the Thanksgiving holiday. And it passed by a margin of 220 to 215. The vote followed along party lines. Only 16 Democrats supported the final package, while 25 Republicans opposed it. The reason I'm talking about this now is because you're going to start hearing about a new bill that would allow for negotiating drug prices. The Health and Human Services Secretary would be authorized to begin negotiating the prices of 10 high-cost prescription drugs in 2023, and the negotiated prices would go into effect in 2026. The number of drugs whose prices would be negotiated on behalf of Medicare would increase to 15 in 2028 and 20 prescriptions in 2029. Big Pharma spends multiple times more on marketing than on research and reap obscene profits. Medicare can't legally negotiate prices as the largest insurance company in the U.S. So here we have Medicare, the largest insurance company in the U.S., and they are banned from negotiating lower prices. So whatever the pharmaceutical companies want to charge, then Medicare has to pay for. And that means our tax dollars have to pay for that. Then that price is where the bar is set by which our private insurance companies have to pay. In June of 2020, I lost my lifelong best friend, who happened to be my cousin and the closest thing to a sister I ever had, to metastatic breast cancer. It was because I saw what she went through with the 5 years of treatment and the various prescription medications and the costs of them that I started paying attention. I started watching the commercials for the metastatic breast cancer medications, and I started checking them out more. There was a time when I paused my TV screen just so I could read the fine print. Let me give you an example of one of the medications that she was on. For a 75 milligram tablet and a 21-day supply, it was $14,724. Here's another one. For 49 tablets of a 2.5 milligram, the cost was $18,471.09. Now for the fine print. Together, the combination of these two drugs delayed disease progression for a medium time of 9.5 months versus 4.6 months for those without. So in essence, the pharmaceutical companies are selling small increments of possibly extended life of maybe 4.5 to 5 months at $33,195.09 per month. When you have someone who just turned 50, who has one child, three stepkids, and two grandkids, and a loving husband, they will do whatever they can to extend their life for that 4.5 to 5 months, even if it's over $33,000 a month. I have always believed, and I will continue to believe, that there will never be a cure for cancer. Not when they can sell off small increments of extended life for $33,000 a month. If our government could figure out how to buy the sun and sell it to us in the form of energy, we would be entirely solar powered right now. Cancer is the second leading money maker behind oil. There won't be a cure. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong, but I doubt I'm wrong. Here's another issue I have with this Medicare thing and the mandates that go along with it. Several years ago, my mom and my stepdad were working on a Homeland Security project out in Maryland. And there was an accident on the job site, and my mom fell and shattered her knee. Our government paid to fix her knee, and that involved cadaver bone, which her body began to reject. My stepfather is a dual citizen between the U.S. and Canada. So my mom and my stepdad, they moved to Vancouver Island in British Columbia. The Canadian government took care of my mom's leg. After they were there a few years and their grandkids began to have kids, they started to get homesick. That was when they started looking into options to come back. And when they found out that in order to come back, they would have to pay that monthly penalty for Medicare for every month that they were gone. That totaled out to be tens of thousands of dollars, and there was just no way that they were going to be able to come home. With the help of cell phones and technology, we're able to maintain contact as often as we can. I'll talk to my mom sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day. And with the help of video chats, they're able to see their great-grandkids. But the reality is they've missed out on a lot. They haven't seen their own grandsons since they were in middle school. And they've missed out on weddings, births, deaths, my mom wasn't even able to come back for her own mother's funeral because my stepdad had had a heart attack. And I guess the Canadian health care, they require a certain traveler's insurance that he was not able to secure for a trip home at that time. So when I look at the southern border and I see the massive amounts of immigrants that are flowing across and our government is handing out entitlements left and right to them, it makes me angry. Because here's my mom and my stepdad who lived here for many years, who paid taxes, who worked hard, and they can't even come home. I encourage everyone to take a much closer look at your elected officials. You can go on opensecrets.org and votesmart.com. And between the two sites, you can see where the politicians are getting their money from and how they're voting. And if you don't like what you see, then it's time to get them out. Next, I want to talk about what happened last week in Greenwood, Indiana, when the good guy with the gun neutralized the bad guy with the gun. I was shocked when I saw people on social media complaining about the good guy with the gun and how he had his gun in a no-gun zone. Considering the fact that from the moment that the bad guy with the gun shot his first victim, within 15 seconds of that first shot, the good guy with the gun had neutralized the bad guy with the gun. The thing about law-abiding citizens who carry a gun, after a certain amount of time of carrying that gun, it becomes like wearing a watch. I don't even know how many times I've had my purse with me when I've gone into the post office or a doctor's office or someplace like that, and I don't even think about my gun being in my purse. The only time I really think about it is when I know that I have to go through a metal detector. Then I'll take it out and I'll leave it in my vehicle, but it's never going to be far from me. Instinctively, when I go into a restaurant, I will go to the furthest table from the door and I will face the door. And I do that just because, and I've always done that even before I started carrying a gun. I always do that just because if there's trouble coming, I want to see it before it gets to me. How sad is it that we live in a time where something like that would even have to cross my mind? It's so sad to know that my grandkids are going to have to go through active shooter drills at school the same as they would go through tornado drills. Instead of our government wanting to get tougher on crime to make life better for law-abiding citizens who actually pay taxes, seems like they're getting softer and softer on crime. The last thing I'm going to talk about is, have you noticed how crabby people are lately? I mean, it's like full moon meets Mercury retrograde and everybody's gone batshit crazy. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not going to walk on eggshells and tiptoe around scared death I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. I got involved in a discussion earlier on social media. I posted a picture of a pig with a nose ring next to a woman with a nose ring and just asked why. Why on earth would somebody do that? You know, ultimately everybody, you know, I mean, yeah, their body, their choice. I just want to know why. I was then asked why it mattered. So I explained why it mattered. I mean, I just want to know why. I mean, what makes a person wake up one day and think that's a good idea? I know I'm not the only one that looks at that thing and wonders, how would you blow your nose? What happens if you get a cold? Oh my God, what happens if you get COVID and you have this thing in your nose? What then? But seriously, I grew up on a hog farm. I know what those things are for. And I know they hurt. Even though I grew up on a farm and I saw it done, I would never do that to a pig. I would never do that to a cow. I don't know why, in their right mind, any human being would do that to themselves. And I just asked why. So then when I explained why, apparently she took offense to that too, and she made some snide comment about my podcast cover photo. Y'all know that's a cartoon, right? It is a cartoon picture that was generated in a cartoon app from a picture that was taken last week. Just to be completely transparent here, I did not use a cartoon picture as my podcast cover to make myself look 20 years younger. I seriously just wanted to use a cartoon picture so that I could put the flag behind me and you could see my conservative t-shirt that looks like a Budweiser shirt. I am 55. I just turned 55 on the 11th, and I'm a very comfortable 55. I'm at a very happy, comfortable place in my life, and I don't have a thing to hide. While I'm on the subject of ultra-sensitive people, did you hear about the woman that's suing the guy for $10,000 for standing her up on a date? I guess she claims emotional distress. Seriously, can you even imagine what would happen if that case is allowed to go through? Personally, I think any attorney that would take a case that lame should be disbarred. Seriously, can you even imagine getting sued for standing somebody up? Have you ever stood anybody up? Have you ever been stood up? My gosh, I mean, this poor guy, even if he has to pay the $10,000, it'd be worth it knowing that he dodged that train wreck. I think the poor guy should turn around and sell his story to ETV or, I don't know, Lifetime, whatever channel the Kardashians on, because it would fit right in there. I might actually watch that one. And that concludes this episode of No Left Turns with Gayla Taylor. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of No Left Turn. If you enjoyed the episode, I hope you'll show your support and share it with others. Post about it on social media. And don't forget to leave a star rating and maybe a short review. You can connect with me on most social media platforms. You'll find all the links listed in the description of this podcast. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.